Like to take your seats. Jen's got a video that she wants to share with us before she comes up, which will appear on the screens.
On. Right. Oh, there you go. Hello. Anything can happen if you let it. This is the title and the point of my talk today. Anything can happen. Anything could happen in the next half hour or so. But more importantly, anything can happen if you let God. Today's passage, we are looking at walking on water, and I think that pretty much sums up that anything can happen with Jesus. And my question is, are we willing and available for an anything can happen lifestyle? So there we go. Right, so I am going to be a bit different in the way that I share the passage this morning. What a shocker. So ordinarily, people have got volunteers up to get involved. There will be no such thing this morning. Everyone's involved this morning. We are going to do immersive theatre. I know, it's exciting, isn't it? So we are going to be the storm. So here we go. I shall explain all your parts. People on the balcony, I know you are sparse this morning, so David and Brenda, you're part of the balcony as well. I know we hide in the box and don't like to get involved, but you're going to do it this morning. You guys are going to be the rain, and by the rain, I'm going to have to sort out. Give me a minute. I need my hands. I could have worn the Britney mic, but I thought one sneeze and I'll wipe you all out. So, you guys are the rain? Awesome. It's raining hard. You're going to have like red thighs by the end of this. It's going to be great. Okie doke. You guys on the left, you are the wind. So you... let's try and be adult about this. You're going to make wind noises. Do you want to practice? Little practice. Beautiful, lovely, love it. You guys on the right, you are the thunder. I have to explain this. I'm going to say one, two, three, and then you're all going to do a single clap. So, are you ready? After three, one, two, three, clap. Quite exciting. Let's do that again. One, two, three. You guys in the middle, you are the disciples. And I want you to heave in the boat. Not like that. Not through seasickness. I just want you to heave in unison. So, and heave. 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 Come on, strenuous. Heave. Heave. Oh, glorious. Okay, you can stop for a minute. I love the fact that I didn't tell you to do any movement, but you just, like, went for it. You embodied, my body is my tool. And Paul is Jesus. Come on, Paul. I have a choice of beards. I don't know. I've got a nice brown one, black, or ginger. See what it feels like to be the superior race. Do you want a tea towel? Okay. Leah, can you help with the tea towel while I come down? While I explain the next bit. Right. While we Jesus up, Paul, I'll explain what's going to happen. So, basically, we're going to build the storm, rain, wind, thunder, heaving. There's really not a better word to use there, I'm sorry. Right. When Jesus walks on the water, which for today is the stage, I want everyone to stop the storm, point, and say, it's a ghost. Right? And then Paul. Why do you need your phone? Are you phoning for help? And then, it's beautiful. You look so Celtic, it's lovely. Right. So when I indicate, everyone's going to point at Paul, it's a ghost, then Paul will have his line, and then you're all going to realize and point and go, it's Jesus. All make sense? Does everyone know what they're doing? Okay, I shall conduct the storm. Are we ready, balcony people and soundbox people? Are we ready? And the rain. And in comes the wind. And there's a bit of thunder. One, two, three. More thunder. One, two, three. Go, disciples, go.
All right, lads. Yes.
And there we go, walking on water. Okay. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Thank you. So there we go. That might have been, for some of you, your first experience of immersive theatre. So I shall now read from Matthew, the passage that we just dramatised. So, we are in Matthew 14 and verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." We're going to take a small pause because I need to blow my nose. And that is why I don't use the Brittany mic. So, I've read from Matthew the passage about Jesus walking on water. It is also in Mark 6 and John 6. And in all three of the Gospels where it's mentioned, the thing that precedes it in every case is the feeding of the 5,000. And I wonder whether during the feeding of the 5,000, whether the disciples kind of looked at each other and went, "I have seen it all now. That is incredible." And then the same day, they witnessed Jesus walking on the water. What an awesome day. So, my one point, anything can happen with Jesus. And we can get involved with that. And we can encounter that just as Peter did. As the song said, we can choose the super or the superficial. Anything can happen with Jesus, but I think there's three provisos we can take from this passage. So, anything can happen, but we need to ask first. Peter didn't just get out of the boat when he saw Jesus. He asked first, "If it's you, Lord, tell me to come to you." And I think that's so important that Peter asked the question. Throughout Scripture, there's various places where asking is mentioned. In Matthew 7, verse 7, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you." In Matthew 21, verse 22, it says, "All things you ask in prayer." In Philippians 4, verse 6, which is actually on my shirt today, Philippians 4, "In everything by prayer and supplication." Isaiah 30, verse 19, "He will be gracious if you ask for help." James 1, verse 5, "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God." So we have a gracious and a generous God who will give help when we ask, who will give wisdom when we ask. So we need to always remember, before we do anything, to ask. To ask the question, "If it's you, Lord, tell me to come. If it's you, Lord, tell me to go. If it's you, Lord, tell me to stay. If it's you, Lord, tell me to act. If it's you, Lord, tell me to speak." We might not always like the answer that Jesus might give us. I will be honest, I put off asking Jesus a question for years because I was scared of the answer he would give. I put off asking the question, "Should I move to Otterburn?" And I was terrified he was going to say yes. I didn't want to move to Otterburn. I was angry that my parents had moved to Otterburn. I didn't want to be there. And so I didn't ask for years, literally. And when I did ask him, he said, "Yes, move to Otterburn." Just like I thought he was going to. But you know what? If I hadn't moved to Otterburn, I think of all the things I would have missed out on. I never would have gone and worked in France and met all the people I met out there. I never would have ended up at this church with all you lovely people that I've met here. I have experienced and done so many things that I never would have done had I not asked that question and moved to Otterburn. So sometimes we do need to remember to ask the question, even though we think we might not like the answer. So, proviso number two. Oh, no, don't. I have jumped ahead of myself, haven't I, Brenda? I apologise. We'll move on in a minute. So, there is a place in France near where I used to work called Parc de Dunes. There are some photos coming up of Parc de Dunes. You kind of have all these mechanical rides to go on, and I love it. It is one of my most favourite places in the world, if you want to just flick on. Ball pools. I love the ball pool. It's big enough for me. There are bobsleighs you can ride down the hill on. There is an assault course. I love this assault course. We used to race through this assault course, and I would always win. And the reason I would always win is because there was nothing tentative about me at all. It was head first, gung-ho, straight through. And this picture, actually, is when my friend Charlotte decided to go for the gung-ho approach and beat me through the assault course. So as I launched myself through the space, she launched herself through the same space, and we got wedged. What you can't tell from this is I can't move because all her weight is on top of me, and she couldn't move because somehow her arm was under me. To this day, I don't really know how we got out. All I know is we sat there for a while laughing and wondering how we were going to get out. And then, I love this, running in a barrel. Whoa. Okay. It's fine. So, running in the barrel, you kind of have two options of what you're going to do when it gets faster and faster. You could either leap out sideways. No, calm. Calm, Brenda. You can leap out sideways or fall over. Those are your two options. And then one day we were looking at it and we were wondering to ourselves, can you brace yourself in the barrel and go all the way round? No one wanted to try this. I took one look and went, I've got to have a go. I've got to have a go, see if it's possible. I've got to try it. So I wedged myself in said barrel, and then you can go on now. And I still wedged myself. And, okay. Come on. Hey! It is possible to go all the way around. Now, whilst attempting this, it is also very possible to get grazed, bruised, and fall repeatedly on your head. And whenever I go to Parc de Dunes, because I kind of have this gung-ho, gotta try it, run at it, head-first approach, I always leave battered in some manner, once actually with all the ligaments torn in my ankle as well, which was good. But I've always got that face. I've always got that face. I love it. I'm kind of like an overexcited puppy when I go there. My point to this story is coming. So, to go back to our original point about Peter asking, why did he ask? Why did he ask the question? In the midst of a storm, did he want to be as near to Jesus as possible? Did he just want to go and see his friend who was out having a stroll on Galilee? Or do Peter and I share a bit of an affinity? Did he think, I don't want to just sit and watch this? Did he take a look at what Jesus was doing and just go, oh, I've got to try it. Got to try it. Now, something Pauline said last week stuck with me. She was, when she was speaking, she said about reading around the passage to kind of get a context. And interestingly, in John, I've lost where I am, John I found it. Thank you. So, I've already said that the feeding of the 5,000 is just before the walking on the water. And then the passage just before that, Jesus is being persecuted by the Jewish leaders. And he's talking about the authority of the Son. And what he says in verse 19 is, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." And this made me think, Jesus has said that he does what he sees the Father doing. And I wondered, does Peter then equate that down and go, well, if Jesus does what he sees the Father doing, I want to be doing what Jesus is doing? So he asks the question and gets out of the boat. So, proviso number two, you've got to get out of the boat. I think sometimes we see what Jesus is doing, but are quite content to stay in the boat rather than get out and join in with what he's doing. Peter took the risk, went headfirst, asked the question, and got out of the boat. It did not go perfectly for him. He did start sinking. But I like the idea that when he got back in the boat, he looked at the other disciples and went, you know what? Totally worth it. Totally worth it. So, anything can happen but ask first, get out the boat, and my final proviso, we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Peter only started to sink when he took off his eyes off Jesus and looked around. He saw the wind. Maybe he looked down at the water and thought, what the heck am I doing? He needed to keep his eyes on Jesus. A couple of months ago, I hit a bit of a wall. And I decided to go away for a few weeks and spend some time with God. And one of the things God said to me during this time was, lift up your eyes. And I thought, oh, yes, lift up, you know, we know the verse from Isaiah, lift my eyes. No, it's Psalms, isn't it? I jumped ahead. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord. But I felt God was saying, now lift up your eyes, look at me. And then in this tone of voice, look at me. When things aren't going very well, I start to hang my head. And God said to me, don't hang your head, lift up your eyes and look at me. And this thing about lifting my eyes has just kept coming back again and again and again since then. And it was actually in a devotion I was reading this week, it came back again. And what I read was this, do not bow low that weary head, look up at me, look at me. When we start looking down, that's when we start sinking. We need to look up. Lift up our eyes and look at him. Look at Jesus. Look at our Father. And again, there are so many things in Scripture about looking up. So I've already said, once Holly reminded me, in Psalm 121, I lift my eyes to the mountains. In Daniel 4, it talks about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar looked up and then his sanity returned. There's two mentions of Jesus looking up when he prays, both in John. And in Acts 7, when Stephen is martyred, the last thing he does, it says, he looks up and saw the heavens. So, do we want an anything can happen lifestyle? An anything can happen with Jesus' lifestyle? Do we want the super over the superficial? If so, are we willing to ask the question, if it's you, Lord, tell me to come. If it's you, Lord, tell me to go. If it's you, Lord, tell me to speak. If it's you, Lord, tell me to do. Are we brave enough to get out of the boat? See what Jesus is doing and say, I've got to try it. Will we persevere in keeping our eyes fixed firmly on Jesus? Don't hang our heads, but lift up our eyes. I don't know about you, but I want to experience the things that Peter experienced. I want to experience those things, and I want to experience more. I want to get involved in what Jesus is doing. We might end up grazed. We might end up bruised and fall on our heads. But I believe it'll be totally worth it. Bless you.